First up in this 5 o'clock hour this afternoon, we talk a little Red Sox. And to do that, we turn to our friend Sean McAdam of MassLive.com. Hi there, Sean.
Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Unlike the Red Sox, I'm trying to finish strong, whatever that means.
Yeah, they're not doing a very good job of it. Losers of 4 in a row, 3 tough losses over the weekend in Toronto, including 2 walk-off losses, one in the bottom of the 9th, one in the bottom of the 13th. So a pretty lost weekend in Toronto. A team that had not been playing well itself, having been summarily swept by the Rangers right before the Red Sox came to town. But the Blue Jays got better at the Red Sox expense, and you know, now we're at the T-minus less than 2 weeks here and just playing out the string over the next 12 games.
Well, and all the focus has been on off-field adventures and the dismissal of Chaim Bloom as the director of baseball operations. Was that a surprising move to you?
I would say it wasn't anything that shocked me. I thought that he might be given another year. I thought that having obviously improved the farm system and made some changes from top to bottom, that it was time to sort of move into contention mode this winter, spend some money, get some starting pitching, and see where that took them at the major league level next year. Certainly nothing that Bloom did over the last couple of months indicated that he had any reason to worry about his job security, which isn't to say that, you know, he felt he was president of baseball operations for life there, but I don't think he thought that they were expecting necessarily a big turnaround in 2023, and by the news of last Thursday, it would seem otherwise. So, as I said, mildly surprised, but hardly shocked. You know that changes get made in the game. And frankly, this ownership has shown little patience over the last decade in moving on from people that they hire to run their baseball ops.
Well, one would assume that Bloom was doing what he was directed to do by ownership. Was it something like the inability to pull the trigger on a deal at the trade deadline? Might have that been the last straw for Bloom with ownership?
It's difficult to say. I mean, if they were that upset by it, they could have signaled the need for more urgency leading up to the deadline, or even made this move soon after, back in August, if he didn't do what they had requested him to do. So that's why I was a little caught off guard by it. It seems to, you know, if that was their driving force behind this, it seemed like unusual timing, whether it's the fact that the team has not played well over the last couple of weeks. I don't know that would necessarily trigger this kind of action. Unfortunately, as you know, Rich, there is very little transparency from the top in that organization anymore. The owners simply do not make themselves available. John Henry has not spoken in person to any members of the media since the day after Mookie Betts was traded some 3.5 years ago. Sam Kennedy is the one who speaks for ownership. And when it came to being pressed for answers as to why this happened now, last Thursday, Kennedy was pretty circumspect and didn't offer a lot of, you know, other than we expect to contend for the playoffs every year, and we want to win more championships. Well, duh, you know, what team doesn't? So, you know, that wasn't exactly peeling back the curtain on what was behind this, and I'm not sure if we're ever going to get some sort of public accounting of it.
Well, if you could ever get a glimpse of those notes that they may have there, what do you think the job description for ownership's ideal candidate would look like?
You mean starting now in terms of a replacement for Bloom?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if we can read the tea leaves here, typically this ownership goes back and forth in a pendulum-like manner.
Yes.
If you examine how they have hired and the decisions they've made, they went from Ben Charrington, whose expertise was in player development and sort of the more long game. They got frustrated with him and brought in an old-school win-now guy in Dombrowski. He won it all in 2018, and less than a year later, apparently intent on continuing to spend money and use free agency to fill out the roster. They didn't like hearing that and decided it was time to go for sustainability. So if we're following the pattern here, it's time for someone who's going to make a more immediate impact. What does that mean? I'm not sure. But I would think that this time around, they would, in reaction to some of the things that took place during Bloom's tenure, they might want someone who has had the experience of being the number one guy in a baseball operations department elsewhere. Bloom had not had that experience. He was the number two guy for a few years in Tampa, certainly, you know, an important part of that front office, but not the guy ultimately making the call on whether we make this trade or make this free agent signing, just one of the upper team members. So my guess is it's going to be a somewhat bigger name, or at least a more experienced name. But I also, you know, one of the things I wrote last week, Rich, is I think by virtue of their hire and fire practices of the last decade, this is going to be the fifth guy in charge of baseball operations since 2011. And I don't think that bodes well when it comes to attracting a top candidate, because you're going to have people taking a look at the history here and seeing, well, Ben Charrington was fired less than 2 years after winning a World Series. Well, Dave Dombrowski was fired less than a year after winning a World Series. And after telling the most recent guy, we want sustainability, we want the farm system built up, he concentrates on that, and then they fire him because they're not winning enough at the major league level. So I don't think they have the best reputation around the game now. And just as they were people last time who didn't even agree to interview for the opening, including Chris Antonetti with the then Indians, and Derek Falvey with the Twins, two guys, by the way, with New England roots, I think they're going to run into more of that. So we'll see how long this process takes.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was wondering how attractive this job might be to people who understand what this ownership group is like. Might that make it more likely that they either stick inside the organization or bring in somebody who has had experience with them before?
That's possible, certainly. You know, it's funny, in a lot of ways, this should be, and in some ways is, a very attractive job. This is a legacy franchise with a devoted fan base that continues to, you know, put 2.5 million people in Fenway Park, despite the fact that they could well end up finishing last for the third time in the last 4 years. You're going to have a top farm system with a lot of contributors ready to help out at the major league level within the next year and a half. And, you know, even though they dropped down to 11th or 12th this year in payroll, historically under this ownership, which goes back 20 years now, they've had the resources, maybe not to spend on the level of the Mets and Padres. But remember, it was only a year ago that they were over the CBT. So in a lot of ways, it should be a very attractive job for all those reasons I just listed. But because of the stuff I cited earlier, I think they may run into some trouble. Now, if you're talking about, I suspect you're tiptoeing around the Mike Hazen question here, as a guy who has served, however briefly, as the GM under Dombrowski, when Dombrowski was president of baseball operations. You know, that's an interesting target, a guy who has gone out and been the number one with the Diamondbacks for the last 6 or 7 years, has them in contention for a wild card spot this year, has done a nice job rebuilding, drafted Corbin Carroll, who's, you know, one of the most electrifying young players in the game, traded for Zach Gallen, one of the best under 30 starting pitchers in the game. So there's a lot on Mike's resume, and it's led by the familiarity that the team has with him. But he's got another year to go on his contract there. And if I'm the Diamondbacks, why am I allowing him to leave when he's just kind of getting the team where they want it to be? So I suspect this is going to be, as I said, a longer process. By all accounts, Bloom was the only person interviewed last time. I'm quite sure that's going to be different this time. And you're going to hear a lot of names. I think there's going to be a lot of people throwing names against the wall. Some will stick and some won't. But Hazen would be an interesting choice.
Alex Cora certainly seems to have more power than ever in the organization. Would he want to make a move like that at this point in his career, though?
He seemed to back off that Friday afternoon in Toronto after there'd been a lot of momentum in the previous 24 hours about him making that jump now. Alex constantly reminds people that he's been the GM of a WBC team and the GM of a team in winter ball in native Puerto Rico. But that is a far, far cry from being the GM of or head of baseball ops for a major league team. You're in charge of literally hundreds of people. You are overseeing, you know, six to eight different departments. You have to negotiate. You have to work on contracts. You have to have trade discussions. All those things that Cora has not done in his job, either with Team Puerto Rico or the team in Caguas and winter ball that he oversees or has in the past. So I think it's something he ultimately would like to do. He's made it clear he doesn't see himself as a lifer in the dugout. He's not going to match, you know, Earl Weaver or Buck Showalter or Terry Francona and manage 20 or 25 years in the big league. But his time to make that transition is probably not now.
Well, whoever gets to make those decisions for the Red Sox going forward, I would assume priority one and maybe even priority two in the offseason is to bolster the starting pitching.
No question. That is the most glaring need here. You look around most of the spots, in the infield and outfield, and they're in fairly good shape. Now, you know, they have a number of decisions coming up in terms of Justin Turner and what they do at DH going forward. And, you know, does Masataka Yoshida in a year or two gravitate more toward the DH spot and out of the outfield? But, you know, they're set on the left side with Devers and Story. They've got Casas as their big run producer, middle of the lineup first baseman. The catching could get upgraded, but they could live with, a combination of Wong and McGuire for a while. Durant took a big step forward. You've seen Abreu and Rafaela make big progress. So, and you still have Verdugo under control for another year. So the position players are in pretty good shape moving forward, but they desperately need innings and experience and successful starting pitchers, whether it be by trade or free agent market. There's a number of guys on the free agent market that could be of interest. Blake Snell is out there. There's a long list of guys who are free agents that would make some sense. Jordan Montgomery, the guy who's pitching against them tonight in Texas, I think would be an interesting number four starter to bring in and who's had some success and experience. I would imagine they're going to be in on Yamamoto, the pitcher from Japan, who's going to be posted and is the apple of suddenly every team's eye as a 25-year-old who's dominated in Japan. So no shortage of candidates out there, but they need at least two, and that's minimum when you look, you know, ahead and you think of Bayo as a guy that you are going to have as part of the rotation, maybe Pivetta and Crawford as more back-end guys. You certainly can't count on Chris Sale, even though he's got a year left. And you still don't know what you have in terms of starters with both Houck and Whitlock. So at minimum, they need two innings-eating experienced starters.
Justin Turner was one of the few highlights of this season, a consistent offensive force, apparently a great clubhouse guy as well, but a bit of a luxury too because of the fact that they were able to put him out in the field. I'm not sure you'd do that with a 39-year-old as much. Would they consider bringing him back?
I think because of what he's meant in the clubhouse and his production. I mean, you could make the case that he's their MVP. And, you know, that probably doesn't speak well of the team that it's a 39-year-old DH in his first year with the franchise that's been their most irreplaceable part. But you could make that argument. You know, he's neck and neck with Rafael Devers for the RBI lead on the team. But he's been unquestionably their their biggest run producer in terms of coming through with a guy on third and fewer than two outs or runners in scoring position. And he's also had, as you noted, a great effect on some of the younger guys in the clubhouse. So the problem is going to be, I would expect that, you know, in a year where he's going to have close to 30 homers and probably more than 100 RBI, he's going to want more than a one-year commitment.
Mm.
So do you want to commit to a guy who's going to be 39 and 40? And more to the point, close off that DH from a number of guys that you might want to cycle through there, like Devers or Yoshida. You know, that's a balancing act that they're going to have to figure out. But my guess is that they're going to make a pretty concerted effort to bring him back. He's got a player option that is kind of complicated with a big buyout. But the base is nowhere near what he is going to get on the open market. So I'd be almost certain that he's going to opt out, and which doesn't preclude him from returning, but it's going to cost a lot more money and more than 2024 in terms of commitment.
Well, it's going to be an interesting offseason in so many ways. Sean McAdam, MassLive.com. Always great to talk with you, Sean. Appreciate you checking in with us today, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Look forward to it, Rich. Thanks.